Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, everybody. Bismillahi walhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Welcome back to our nightly or evening afternoon session of the Message of the Quran, where we will inshallah be covering the different sessions and sections on the different ajza of the Quran night by night. Tonight's session is on juz number 13. Juz number 13 begins in the beginning part of Surah Yusuf and continues all the way to Surah Ibrahim, and in between them is Surah Ar-Ra'd. So there are many different powerful chapters that juz number 13 encompasses and has that we'll be going over, inshallah, a few ayat tonight while we can, inshallah. Before we begin, I wanted to, you know, introduce everybody and acquaint everybody with our partner in this program, Helping Hand for Relief and Development. We have an amazing partnership with HHRD that we've had now for many years. HHRD is the sponsor and the partner of this program. This series is brought to you by them. They have been one of our trusted partners for many years, and they've served people in need from around the globe, you know, in terms of food and shelter and safety and security since 2005. They have a focus on relief and development and trying to provide that safety and security and nutrition to people all around the world. Since its inception, they have assisted millions in need with emergency aid and have been able, alhamdulillah, by the grace and mercy of Allah, to lift thousands out of poverty with their long-term assistance programs. This Ramadan, Helping Hand is focusing on continuing to eradicate the hunger epidemic in the world. You know, it is a problem that is solvable. It is a solution. It is a problem that has a solution, and Helping Hand, mashallah, is working on that solution. They are doing a campaign called the hashtag Share Your Plate campaign. To learn more, please visit this link that you see right here. Sorry, this way. hhrd.org/qalam. Please visit it, inshallah. Check it out and do what you can to support. Okay, let's go ahead, inshallah, and begin by talking about some of the different themes and messages from juz number 13. So the first one that we're going to talk about, we're in the middle of the story of Yusuf at this point. Okay, we are in the middle of the story of Yusuf. And in this story, this surah has been revealed to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in part as a response to the difficulty that he, alayhi salatu wasalam, is going through in his life. This surah is one of the only chapters, or the only chapter, subhanAllah, that was revealed in its entirety, according to the scholars of tafsir. And it has so many different lessons and so many different, you know, talking points and themes. We'll only be able to pick up on a few. The first that I want to go through is ayah number 67. Ayah number 67. So up until this point, we know the story. Yusuf has been, betrayed by his brothers. He has been thrown into a well. There was that element of jealousy that the brothers had of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. And when they discarded him, when they left him for dead, they went back to their father Ya'qub, and they told him that he had been eaten by a wolf. Ya'qub, who was also a prophet alayhi salam, he knew that something was amiss, that something was wrong, and he decided, to sort of allow the brothers to do what they had done, but at the same time was trusting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would return Yusuf to him. Now, Yusuf at that point is brought to Egypt, saved from the well, brought to Egypt by a group of tradesmen, business people, and they capture him into slavery, unfortunately, and they sell him into the slavery of the household of the palace where the Aziz lived, where the minister lives. Yusuf is put in a situation, unfortunately, where he is being seduced or attempted to be seduced by the wife of the Aziz. He resists. He resists that offer of the seduction that he's put in front of him, and he is put in prison. And he spends, as some of the scholars say, many years in prison. Some, I believe, say 9 years. Ibn Abbas said 9 years in prison. So when he's in prison, he has a couple inmates that are there with him. He has people that are there with him. And they notice that he is somebody that has like super upright character. So they notice that he's just very esteemed. He has this upright character. He is very pious. They notice that he has a lot of piety, that he's always praying. And so they ask him, Yusuf alayhi salam, they ask him, like, what's the deal? What's your situation? And he tells them, he says that I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I believe in the hereafter. I follow the creed and the belief of Ibrahim and Ishaq and Ya'qub. And he tells them basically about Tawheed in the middle of the prison, and he introduces them to this. Now, Yusuf has this incredible gift, which is the ability to interpret dreams. And this is something that Yusuf alayhi salam also demonstrates at the pleasure of the Aziz. And when he does this, when he's able to interpret the dreams and effectively help the kingdom of Egypt prepare for the coming drought and the coming situation that they will experience, this elevates his status and allows him to be removed from the prison. So now, inshallah, we're going to go to ayah number 67. Ayah number 67 is where we'll begin, inshallah, our reflection. And this is actually going back now to the lesson of Ya'qub, the lesson of Ya'qub. So what's going on here? If you go to the mid-60s, you see that the story begins, or the juz tonight begins, where Yusuf's brothers had visited the capital or the kingdom of Egypt in order to obtain some sort of supplies. They came and they wanted to obtain some sort of supplies because, again, the land was going through and experiencing a drought, and they wanted to, they wanted to obtain some help, some aid, some assistance. So they arrive to Egypt and they come there, and they have no idea that the person now who is in charge of the aid that they are seeking is in fact their brother Yusuf. They have no idea. So subhanAllah, what ends up happening is they end up obtaining this aid from him, but Yusuf, because he sees that these brothers have no idea who he is, they don't recognize him, they don't, and obviously in their head, they left him for dead. What Yusuf does in order to teach them a lesson is he asks the brothers if they can allow him to see one brother in particular. One brother in particular. The brother that he also shared, as some of the scholars of Tafsir say, Binyamin, that he shared a mother with. So not a half-brother, but a full brother. So the brother said, sure, yeah, you can meet with him, you can see him, right? And so they told him, or he kept him with him. I'm sorry, he kept Ya'qub alayhi salam, kept Binyamin with, and he called for him knowing that he wasn't there. And they said, okay, we're going to come back and try. But our father is very, very adamant that he does not want this son to leave, because before he had an experience where one of his sons was, you know, went missing, talking about Yusuf, right? The irony here is just manifest. It's like folding on top of each other. So Yusuf, alayhi salam, before the brothers went back to their home, to their father in Hashem, he placed through one of his servants some money into one of their bags. So he placed, ayah number 62, Yusuf ordered his servant to put some of the money into one of the brothers' bags, so that when they went back to their family and they returned, they would have to come back. They would have to come back because Yusuf is trying to bring them back. So Yusuf's brothers returned back to their father, ayah number 63, and then they said, "Oh, our father, we have been denied the aid that we were looking for. We all went there to get aid. We didn't get it. So what ended up happening? The person we were asking for, who ends up being Yusuf, he told us that if you send our brother with us, that he will give us this aid, right? So can you send this brother with us?" Now you can imagine Yaqub at this point is going through like this memory of what happened last time when he left his other son, Yusuf alayhi salam, with his large group of sons. What happened? He lost him. And so they're saying now, "Oh father, give us the other young son, the other young child, let us take him so that we can get the aid that we were looking for." And Yaqub is not feeling very good about this at all. Right? He's not feeling very good about this at all. So what does he say in ayah number 64? He says, "Should I trust you with him, just like I trusted you before with Yusuf? Right? Is that what I'm going to end up having to do?" And he says, "But only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the protector, and he is the one who is the most merciful of the merciful." When they opened their bags, they discovered that that money that was placed in their bags had been returned to them. They argued with their father and they said, "What more can we ask for? Here's our money fully returned to us. Now we can buy more food for our family. We will watch over our brother and obtain an extra load of grain. That load can be easily secured." So these brothers now are trying to make their argument. "We have more money. We have the money back that we took, right? That aid that we were paying for. We got the money now back. Somehow it's here. We can get even more food. And our brother, if you send him with us, then it's going to give the minister, who is Yusuf alayhi salam, even more reason to help us." Ayah number 66, Yaqub alayhi salam says, "What? I will not send him with you until you give me your word by Allah, take an oath by Allah that you will bring him back to me. I don't want the same situation to happen all over again. I need you to promise that you'll bring him back to me." They all took their oaths and then they concluded that what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the witness over what we have said. Now, ayah number 67, this is the first lesson. What is the lesson here? Is Yaqub alayhi salam is being put in a situation where he is not very keen on doing something, right? His heart is pulling one way, his mind is pulling another way. He does not want to let his son go, because the last time he did this, he got burned very badly, right? His sadness was inconceivable, losing a son, his beloved son Yusuf. So he does not want to let his other son go with his other larger group of children. So subhanAllah, this moment is something that everybody in their life experiences at some point or another, where you know what has to be done, but your heart is just not in it. Your heart is just not in it. So he allows and he obliges to let his son go, and he places his ultimate trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time that he places his trust, he does something else that's very important. See, a lot of times we emphasize tawakkul in Allah. We need to place our trust in Allah, and we need to trust Allah through and through. And that is 100% accurate. But along with the trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we also have to strategize and make sure that we do the things appropriately and properly in order for the trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be fulfilled. Okay? So we have to take the means in order for that trust to be fulfilled. So this ayah number 67 is Yaqub alayhi salam giving that strategy to his sons. What does he say? He says, "When you go to the city, when you go back to Egypt and go to the city, to return back and get more food and more grain and more aid. He says, do not enter the city through one gate. Don't enter it through the same gate. Rather, what I want you to do is when you go to the city, I want you to enter through different gates. Because if you guys have ever been to like a classical city, on the outside of the city, they would build a wall. And the wall would have many different gates for people to enter and exit, right? Medina had the same areas, right? The city of Medina would have different doors and gates that people would leave from in different directions. If you go to Jerusalem, you see this. So this is a very classical city where there's different gates coming in and out. Why does Ya'qub not want his sons to all enter from the same gate? Why? There's a couple different reasons that the scholars of Tafsir mention, and they're all very powerful and very beautiful. But one of them that I really appreciate is that Ya'qub is trying to teach his children not to draw attention to themselves without any purpose or any reason. Why would you all come in, all of these sons, right? Why would you all come in through one gate, drawing attention to yourself? You're all visitors, right? The last thing you want to do is bring attention to yourself and have people maybe look at you and have some sort of feeling about you, some type of way. You know, nowadays, the entire focus is as much as we can to bring attention to ourselves, subhanAllah. Whereas you see Ya'qub with his taqwa and his wisdom as a prophet of Allah, he says, don't bring attention to yourself. You know, my mom, she used to say something really amazing. She would say, you should never be the best dressed person at a wedding. You should never be like the best dressed person at a wedding. Why bring that attention to yourself, right? Dress nicely, but you don't have to go above and beyond. So there is an element of when a person wants to protect themselves from, whether it's things like hasad or nazar, or just protect themselves from being in the spotlight and people nitpicking at them and things like that, to make sure that they put themselves in a situation where they're not the most noticeable people in the room. So he says, do not enter the city from one gate, rather enter from different gates. And he says at the end, he says, I can't help you, right? وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ I can't help you مِنَ اللَّهِ. That if Allah Ta'ala has decreed for something for you, I can't help you, but we're at least going to do what we can. We're at least going to do what we can. Because sovereignty, the will of Allah Ta'ala belongs only to Him, and upon Him I place my trust, and all those who trust should trust Him 100% alone. So tawakkul is the beautiful fusion of strategy and security in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We do what we have to do, and then we trust Allah Ta'ala to deliver on His part as He tells us. Okay, so that's the first reflection for today. Now, the story of Yusuf, it continues. The brothers, they go back. They enter just as their father had instructed them to do, ayah number 68. Then number 69, Yusuf, alayhi salam, he calls his brother, the younger one, Binyamin, and he pulls him aside, and he tells him, I am your brother. Right, I am Yusuf. I'm the one that went missing all those years ago. And he said, so don't worry, watch what I'm going to do. So he discloses now, this is the first time that Yusuf is telling somebody. Then ayah number 70, Yusuf alayhi salam, he gave them some supplies and he slipped one of the royal dishes or cups into the bag of his brother, Binyamin. When they left, somebody yelled that, someone stop that caravan. Someone stop those brothers. They are thieves. Now the brothers had no idea what was going on. So they stopped and they turned around and they said, what is it that you're missing? What is it that you are accusing us of stealing? So the guards called and they said, the king has lost his cup and whoever brings it back will be awarded another load of grain. Whoever brings it back will be given another load of the supplies. So the brothers responded, and I remember they had no idea that Yusuf alayhi salam put the cup in their bags. They said, we don't have that, right? We don't have that. Imagine like, they loaded all their luggage and they didn't take anything. So they, as far as they know, they're telling the truth, right? And they're trying so forcefully to tell the truth. They say, we did not come to cause trouble here. All we came for was getting help. And also we're not thieves. We're not people who steal. So then Yusuf's men, the men of Sayyidina Yusuf, they asked, they said, and what if you're lying? Why don't we check your bags? And if you're lying, once we check your bags and we find the cup, then what? And then Yusuf's brothers say, if you find the cup, which you won't, then we will be given as we will give our lives. Like, we'll basically be, we're at your service. We're slaves. Okay. So Yusuf and his team began searching their bags, and they found it in the bag of the youngest brother, Binyamin. Now remember, Yusuf had told his brother on the side, don't worry, I'm doing something, right? So this isn't going to, nothing bad's going to happen. So he knew, his brother knew that all this is sort of being, there was an architecture behind it. But he said, this was the plan of Yusuf that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we inspired to him. We gave him this plan, okay? He could not have taken his brother just randomly by himself, but Allah ta'ala had given him this plan in order for his brother to stay with him. And Allah ta'ala said, this is the way that we made things work. Now, one of the lessons here that I love, ayah number 76, is that there sometimes will come in your life moments that seem completely disconnected, completely not related to one another, but those moments give you a beautiful indication how Allah is working in your life. You know, Yusuf alayhi salam has been inspired as a prophet to do this plan, and Allah ta'ala tells us here in ayah number 76 that had it not been for Allah, there's no way that Yusuf would have been able to execute this plan. So realize in your life that there are moments where you have to trust the destiny that Allah ta'ala has written for you. One of the tensions that we feel in life is that we're constantly pushing back against the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we have to trust the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to ride that wave. And in that trust, we will find the beautiful, beautiful treasures and jewels of wisdom that are waiting for us there. So ayah number 77, to continues, Yusuf's brother argued and said that if he stole it, then that makes sense because his brother Yusuf also was a bad guy before, right? Now they still don't know who they're talking to. It's super awkward. They said, wow, he's a thief? That makes sense because his brother Yusuf was also a pretty bad guy before. Yusuf held in his disappointment, held in his anger, and he said that, subhanAllah, he said to himself, what a horrible thing to say, what an evil thing to say. And he says, but Allah Ta'ala knows better than what you claim, okay? Then all the brothers gathered and they appealed. They said, oh, our minister, we have a very old father. We have an extremely old father, so please, instead of taking him, take one of us, because the pressure's on now. Yusuf has basically schemed to take Binyamin, and that's the one brother that Yaqub alayhi salam said, please do not lose him. Promise me that you won't lose him. They said, we will not lose him. They go, and now this is all happening. So what does he say? They say to Yusuf, they say, please just take one of us instead. Yusuf responds, I'm not going to take other than the one that I found the property with. Otherwise, I would be oppressive. That's wrong. Why would I punish somebody else for the act that somebody else did? Right? Why would I do that? So when the brothers now, they turned inward to themselves and they began to talk. And they said, don't you realize, guys, that we messed up? Allah has taken an oath from us and we failed, just like we failed him regarding Yusuf before. So now, this is interesting. They are coming now to realize the mistake that they had made before, and they realize that it's coming full circle. And that regret and that weight and that heaviness is setting in. There's a big lesson here, ayah number 80. The big lesson here is that the sins that we commit, if we don't repent for them, the weight that they bear upon our hearts will be so heavy that they will eventually come back to us and they will eventually weigh down on us. I mean, until we come to terms with them, until we repent to Allah Ta'ala for them, the punishment of sin is that it weighs you down until you come to terms with them, okay? So they said, man, it's happening again. It's happening again. Just like we messed up before, we messed up now. So they said that we're not gonna leave until our brother's with us, or until our father allows us to, or Allah decides for me, because he is the best of judges. Next ayah, Yusuf responds and he says, what? Irji'u ila abikum. Go back to your father and say, oh, our father, your son, Binyamin, has committed theft. We testify only to what we know. We could not guard against the unforeseen. They go back to their fathers. They go back to their father and they tell him, no, your souls must have tempted you to do something evil. Your souls must have tempted you to do something evil. And he says to him that what? I have nothing left now except this beautiful patience that I have to try. I trust Allah Ta'ala will return them all to me. Surely he is the all-knowing and the all-wise. Okay? Subhanallah. In that moment, Ya'qub now is coming to his like weakest point as a father, which is now he is completely and totally under the will of Allah Ta'ala and totally submitting to Allah Ta'ala's will. And if you read the story, you can just feel the pain in his voice, subhanAllah. Now, what ends up happening, because I don't want to spend all the time in the juz on this, there's a couple other ayat that I want to go through, is that they end up coming back to the city again, and they end up coming back with in front of the presence of Yusuf. And at that moment, Yusuf, ayah number 89, he reveals that, do you guys remember what you did to Yusuf, your brother, and his brother in your ignorance? Do you remember what you did now? And that's the revelation when they understand that they had been, subhanAllah, doing wrong this whole time, that this was Yusuf, and that their brother Benjamin was also there with him. And then they come back, and this is like the moment of the tawbah of the brothers, that they said that this is something that we are so ashamed about. We are so grateful that you have allowed us and given us a chance to repair and mend this situation that we did. And then Yusuf says what? Ayah number 92, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. There is no blame on you today. Allah has forgiven you. You know, once you solve a situation with somebody, once you mend a situation with a person, once you work through something in process, forgiveness is the next step that you have to achieve. You know, if you've gone through a situation with somebody and you've talked about it and you've discussed it, don't let that situation conclude except that forgiveness has been achieved. Don't just explore the problem and then walk away without forgiveness. If Yusuf can forgive his brothers years after what they did to him, okay, then we can forgive people for things that they've done to us as well. All right, we'll stop now with the story of Yusuf, and I want to go now to a couple of ayats from Surah Ar-Ra'd, because I want to make sure that we don't miss out on the rest of the juz. So a couple lessons here. First is in Surah Ar-Ra'd, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us something about knowledge, that the religious knowledge that we experience, that Allah ta'ala has given us, it is akin and it is similar to having the ability to see, to having sight. That when a person has knowledge of Allah, their ability to understand the world improves and increases. Okay? So Allah Ta'ala says that whatever Allah Ta'ala has revealed to you, the one that knows that, they know that it's the truth. But is that person, Allah Ta'ala says, is that person equal to kaman huwa a'ma? Is that person, the one who knows, equal to the one who is blind? The one who can't see, the one who can't process the world in front of them? He says no, but he says only people of understanding will take heed in the situation. What does that mean? So many of our situations in life are confusing to us, not because we can't see the thing in front of us, but because we can't understand or interpret it, right? We're going through a difficulty and we blame Allah instead of understanding that this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go through a challenge and we lose hope in Allah instead of remembering that Allah Ta'ala will get us through it just like he brought us to it. Knowledge of Allah is what gives us the wisdom and the foresight to be able to navigate this world with vision, with the ability to see. Okay? And the last thing is, what truly brings us peace of mind? This is the last verse that we'll cover for today. I know I'm going over time. What is the thing in this world that truly brings us time and satisfaction peace and satisfaction? Is peace of mind. Peace of mind. That is the thing that everyone's looking for. The days where you wake up and you just, you don't have a single worry on your mind. You're just enjoying the blue skies and the beautiful weather. That is only achieved according to Allah, the truth of the Quran, by what way? Right? What is that? أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تطمئن القلوب, that only in the remembrance of God will hearts find rest. If a person does not spend time remembering Allah in any situation that they are in, their heart will always be agitated. Their heart will always be rattling. When your heart is rattling and you feel it agitated by something, remind yourself of Allah and watch the water of dhikr rinse the heart from anxiety and pain. Watch it. When you remember that Allah is with me, this is His plan. I am following the best of my ability. I'm following what He wants me to follow. He will take care of me. He will be there for me. As you remind yourself, this is dhikr. That's dhikr, right? As you remind yourself of that, then your heart will be rinsed with dhikr from all of the difficulties and all of the stresses that you're feeling. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability to understand the Quran and to act upon the Quran. I apologize. I wasn't able to cover very much tonight. I was very, I had so much that I wanted to go through. The story of Yusuf, to be quite frank with you, is one of my favorites. And so I got very distracted, just wanted to kind of go through the whole story. But alhamdulillah, we were able to get a couple more references in from Surah Ar-Ra'd. I hope, inshallah, and pray that everybody has a wonderful evening tonight, inshallah. And as I said earlier, if you can, inshallah, go to hhrd.org/qalam here and help out with all the great work that HHRD is doing, it would be much appreciated. We ask Allah Ta'ala to benefit everybody and to bless everybody. Barakallahu feekum, everybody. Please take care. See you guys tomorrow, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.